This is Jay Sekulow. We give you a full analysis of the debate between the president and Governor Romney and the emphasis on Libya.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
When I say that we are going to find out exactly what happened, everybody will be held accountable, and I am ultimately responsible for what's taking place there. You know that I mean what I say.
I think the president just said correctly that the buck does stop at his desk. And he takes responsibility for the failure in providing those security resources. And there were many days that passed before we knew whether this was a spontaneous demonstration or actually whether it was a terrorist attack. And there was no demonstration involved. It was a terrorist attack. And it took a long time for that to be told to the American people.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Here's what happened. You had a video that was released by somebody who lives here. Is an extremely offensive video directed at Muhammad and Islam. So this caused great offense in much of the Muslim world.
I think these actions taken by a president and a leader have symbolic significance and perhaps even a material significance, in that you'd hope that during that time we could call in the people who were actually eyewitnesses. We've read their accounts now about what happened. It was very clear this was not a demonstration. This was an attack by terrorists.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Well, I've been reading our news reports this morning. CNN, interesting report, and puts this in context when we're talking about Libya today and how that plays into the presidential election. A standard line, this is from the CNN report, in the president's stump speech, touts his administration's efforts to target al-Qaeda, has been missing from recent stops in the wake of the Libya terror attacks. He said, I said we focus on the people who actually attacked us on 9/11, and today al-Qaeda is on the run, and Osama bin Laden is dead. And that's what the statement was. But now, those statements about the terrorists and al-Qaeda are pretty much missing. Was the line, you know, the question is, of course, was the line removed deliberately, and does the president want to stay away from the Libya issue? And the problem, of course, with this is Monday's debate is going to focus on Libya like a laser beam because it's foreign affairs. And where this was a strong suit for the president, it doesn't appear to be so now. And I told David French, who's in the studio with me here in our media center, and Van Bennett in our office in Washington, D.C., before we went on the air, I feel like something is brewing on this Libya front, and we don't even know the scope and nature of it yet, and I think it's going to play out very significantly in the next week or 10 days. Now, it has nothing to do with the fact that we had a terror suspect that was taken yesterday in New York City, which was obviously a big deal, and we're glad that the New York NYPD did a fantastic job with the FBI. Again, shows you the terrorists are trying to really execute plans here in the United States. But Libya, David, I think is going to take on a whole new dimension going forward next week in this election.
You know, I think you very well could be right, because the fact of the matter is, even with mainstream media coverage, the extent and the scale of the incompetence and disaster there is not widely known. I mean, the president made some statements in the debate that are just laughable. For example, he said one of his first orders was to beef up our security there. Well, that's a little bit like closing the barn door after the horses escaped.
I mean, our ambassador and three others were killed already.
Then how was CNN able to walk into the site of the attack and grab the ambassador's diary? That's not much beefing up going on.
Interesting also, Washington Post blogger Jennifer Rubin says President Obama's attempts to wriggle from his own words and actions on Libya are making things worse. These are the headlines that are breaking this weekend, folks. So you got to understand, we're looking at the news this weekend trying to figure out where does this go next week. And it is the news-dominant story. Libya singles out Islamists as commander in consulate attack. So we've got, you know, every headline right now, with that and the individual that was arrested yesterday in New York City, is focusing on Libya. And Than, I think we got only 40 seconds here, but very quickly, what's your sense of how this plays in the debates next week and in the election with 2 weeks away?
Jobs and the economy may be number one, Jay, but for those who are undecided, 3-5%, this is going to be the last issue they hear about, and it deals with the security of the United States and their own security. I think it's going to be the difference maker among those 3-5%.
Folks, I want to know if it's that difference for you. Is it significant for you? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I want to encourage you to get our Foundations of Freedom. You could do that at 1-877-989-2255. Our gifts to you, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And when you're there, and I want to say thank you, many of you did this yesterday, go to ACLJ.org, make an online tax-deductible gift. It really helps us out. Thank you so much for those that have already done so.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's website at aclj.org. Also, stay informed through Twitter and Facebook, bringing you breaking news and analysis as it happens. The ACLJ aggressively works to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. That's our commitment to you, cornerstone of our mission since the ACLJ began nearly 25 years ago. The ACLJ on the front lines, and we want you to have an important resource, free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stay in touch with the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right. Where I belong. Silly people run around, they worry me, and never ask me why. Don't get past my door.
Well, there you have it. An appropriate Beatle tune for the mess in Benghazi, but I again want to express our condolences to the families of those that lost loved ones. And as David French just said before the break, the idea that the president said, well, I beefed up security afterwards, but CNN walked in and grabbed the ambassador's diary, that tells you something. Let me play for you what President Obama did say during the debate on this issue, and it kind of tells you why I think this is going to be a huge vulnerability next week. I may be the guy clapping in the forest that nobody hears on this, but I really believe that the Libya situation could be absolutely dramatic in the turn of events for this election, number 27.
As soon as we found out that the Benghazi consulate was being overrun, I was on the phone with my national security team, and I gave them three instructions. Number one, beef up our security and procedures, not just in Libya, but in every embassy and consulate in the region.
Of course, that was
number
two. Late. Go ahead, number two.
Investigate exactly what happened, regardless of where the facts lead us, to make sure that folks are held accountable and it doesn't happen again.
And while he was having the investigation for 2 weeks, he went to the floor of the United Nations and kept blaming the video. And the rest of the statement?
And number three, we are going to find out who did this, and we are going to hunt them down. Because one of the things that I've said throughout my presidency is, when folks mess with Americans, we go after them.
Well, that's fine, and that's great, and I'm glad we're going to do that. But the fact is, we've got an ambassador and three others that were killed. Been saying you're going to beef up security after the fact? Well, that's interesting, but ineffective. 1-800-684-3110. We got a lot of calls. Let's go right to them, fan.
All right, let's start with Angela calling from Ohio on line two. Angela, you are on the air.
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
You're on the air.
My question is, where does the loyalty lie with each individual? We are, according to the Bible, to respect our authorities, and the disrespect that the President of the United States is shown is unbelievable.
Why do you think it's, you mean, you don't think that disagreeing with a policy is showing disrespect, do you?
It is not the disagreement, but the way and the tone that people take with the president, the things, the remarks that are said against the president. There is no president, and there never will be a president who does not make a mistake. He has already admitted that he has made many mistakes. But it's the
response. But it's your okay. But Angela, let's be realistic here. We're 2 weeks away from a general election for the next president of the United States. Obviously, the vitriol is going to be high on both sides. That's the nature of the political process. We live in a republic. We get to you know, we get to espouse our views. We try to be very respectful here on this broadcast. I don't think you could say we're not disrespectful. When we've agreed with the president, we've said it. When we disagreed, we say it. I think the Libya situation is a fiasco for this president. I think blaming a movie six times at the United Nations when we know the movie, calling it a movie is almost ridiculous, a YouTube statement, a play on YouTube, was ridiculous. And I think that was a really bad move of the president of the United States. Now, do you think that in of itself is disrespectful, or is it you're talking about like the commercials and the ads?
I think that if we looked at more of the good that he has done for this country.
Well, tell me the policy you like the most. The president's policy that you like.
His policy concerning education and freedom of religion.
Okay, so freedom of religion. So let's talk about freedom of religion for a moment. The HHS mandate, that is the Health and Human Services, is requiring religious and faith-based institutions to dispense through their insurance policies abortifacients and drugs that violates a religious conscience. Do you think that doesn't that present a legitimate debate, Angela, where we can debate to say that, gee, that's not very much in favor of religious freedom. That's kind of counter to religious freedom. You could do it without being disrespectful. I agree. We shouldn't be disrespectful, especially to the office of the president of the United States. But we could say we disagree with the policy.
We absolutely can.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I'd agree with everything that Obama does. All
sure.
I'm addressing is the respect and the disrespect that each individual, the different organizations, even Mitt Romney. If you want to know how he's going to treat us, all you have to do is look at how he treats his own president.
Well, now, hang on a second here, Angela. Mitt Romney is running for president of the United States. He's the Republican nominee for president. President Obama is the Democratic nominee for president. They have debates. It's a town hall format this last week. Let's get some of the exchange on this. I think I know what you're talking about here. This is when you had the pretty aggressive exchange. That was the nature of the format of the debate. I mean, but look, I want you to understand something, Angela. Look at the debate before and after. They shake hands before. They shake hands after. They talk to each other's family. This is part of America. This is part of the republic in which we live in. David?
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that's incredible about this American republic is how unusual it is that you have a transition of power, a debate over power that begins with a handshake and ends with a handshake. There are traditions of respect that are embedded in our system
sure.
that continue. And, you know, on the scale of presidential elections, this one is hardly the most contentious.
Yeah, Angela, I'd encourage you to look at some history of the beginning of the foundation of our country when we had the first debates for president and the things that were written you couldn't believe. So, look, there are things that are said about both candidates. You and I and Angela could agree that are not appropriate. And that includes the statements that the Obama campaign makes against Romney. Romney, you know, makes against this. These outside groups are making. But understand that, you know, you're 2 weeks away from a general election. Things are going to be tense. But on this broadcast, I want to analyze the debate. And that's the point of what we're doing here. And that's the reason we're talking about it. By the way, this is important to note, and I just got this. One of our founding fathers was actually killed in a duel. And they had duels in those days. Now, I'm glad we're not at that stage of life, but this is the reality of what we're dealing with. But again, you know what I think would be helpful here, Angela? I'm going to send you a copy of our Foundations of Freedom, which is the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. Why? Because it lays out the fabric on the framework upon which our country is based. So you hang on the line here. We're going to send that to you. And by the way, if anybody wants Foundations of Freedom, it's our gift to you. We want to do that during these debate weeks. 877-989-2255. I'm going to send it to you absolutely free. 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Back to the phones we go.
Jay, and I would just say, politically speaking, the president had an opportunity here because if you look historically, presidents that respond to terrorism with strength, they get the support of the American people. The president didn't do that here. Instead, he insulted them with this story for the next 2 weeks. I think that's the mistake the president made, not one of disrespect. Let's go to line three. Victor's calling from New York. Victor, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys. I just wanted to say this very quickly, that the president's responsibility, first and foremost, is to protect Americans' lives. He's tried to cover up the fact that he got caught with his pants down, Jay. That's all it's about.
Well, look, here's what you had. I want to play for you the exchange on Libya that took place. Do we have the exchange where both Governor Romney and the president were talking, or do we just have the President Obama statement? It looks like just the President Obama statement. We have both? Do we have it? Let's go ahead and play it then.
I think it's interesting. The president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me.
It's interesting about that whole discussion. Actually, he did not say it was an act of terrorist. It wasn't terrorist action. You could be slicing and dicing. But let's play what he said at the floor of the United Nations when this was discussed 2 weeks after the attack, where he, it's a very short clip here, where he says, you know, basically, blame this video.
There are no words that excuse the killing of innocents. There's no video that justifies an attack on an embassy.
Video. I mean, here we are at the floor of the United Nations, and we know that the video had nothing to do with it. This kind of shows you the absurd nature of what's going on. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Then let's try to grab another call here.
All right. Let's go to Mike calling from Florida on line six. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I just got a quick comment. I just want to say that if God does not watch over our country, the United States of America, and this country of ours does not maintain a healthy defense to defend itself, our country can't stand. And in addition to that, I want to say this is why I'm voting for Mitt Romney, because I simply believe he is going to be a better leader in protecting our country militarily.
Well, you know, we've heard today from two callers. One says they're going for President Obama, the other going for Governor Romney. That's what America's all about. And for you, it sounds like, Mike, the issue of the military is a big one. David French, of course, serves in the military, so I'm going to let him respond to that one.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're seeing unfolding in the military is we're already preparing for the budget cuts from the sequestration. That is a very real phenomenon in the Army right now, is a massive drawdown of the active duty, a reduction in the reserves, and we're seeing reductions in our training budgets even now. So there's no question that public policy is impacting the military very strongly at this very moment.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Our phone lines are jammed, but if you want to try to keep calling, it's 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you what I'd like everybody to do right now. If you want Foundations of Freedom, it's the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. We've got it for you in a great booklet called Foundations of Freedom. It's our gift to you. Everybody should have this so you know what the power of the presidency really is all about. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And let me also encourage you. First, I need to say a huge thank you. Many of you got our email yesterday requesting support for the ACLJ via online donations, and you responded fantastic. I appreciate that. And I encourage you also, if you haven't done so, go to ACLJ.org, make that online tax-deductible gift. And again, if you want Foundations of Freedom, 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this, because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's website at aclj.org. Also, stay informed through Twitter and Facebook, bringing you breaking news and analysis as it happens. The ACLJ aggressively works to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. That's our commitment to you, cornerstone of our mission since the ACLJ began nearly 25 years ago. The ACLJ on the front lines, and we want you to have an important resource, free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stay in touch with the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Taking your phone calls. We're focusing on Libya, but let me tell you what we're doing on the broadcast next week. Big foreign policy debate next week. I expect Libya, Egypt, the whole Arab Spring to come up in that context. We are going to be giving you full analysis on that. We're going to be back to pushing the United States Congress to not authorize that money going to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government, what I call the Islamic-led Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt. I'm reading right now, again, Andy McCarthy's book, Spring Fever. I don't know if it's – Will, is it out yet? It is just out. You got to get this book. We'll get a link to it. I think it's an e-book, actually. It is fantastic. And it really kind of lays it out. And it gets you really nervous about Turkey and where Turkey's going in all of this. I think all of that's going to be discussed next week. And we're going to have some of our international experts on as well. So we're going to have a great week of programming for you as we analyze it. But we're going to go back to the issue of this funding. And, Fan, to give everybody an update, where are we in that? So far, so good.
Yeah, it's still being held held by Congress. The president hasn't overrode Congress's objections. Kay Granger's been phenomenal in this, Ileana Ross-Layton and Jim Jordan. But, Jay, you're talking about the first half of $1.2 billion on top of the $1.5 billion that Egypt already gets. But so far, so good. We're continuing to watch it. You know, the campaigns are moving on, but we'll keep watching it. We'll keep people posted.
I'll tell you, folks, we're going to push on it next week. I've got it. We can get it through the election. We're going to be in a much better shape either way it goes. All right, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Let's go to JC calling from Arizona on line 5. JC, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, JC.
Hey, I just wanted to say really quick, I live in Arizona. My son's a Border Patrol agent.
Thank you for your service.
We don't even defend our borders right here in our own home soil. How on earth are we being disrespectful when we stand up and say we want our embassies protected? How can we be – how is that disrespectful?
Here's what the analysis is, and this is why the J. Sekulo drip, drip, drip theory is what it is. I believe that the State Department, through because of the president's position on the Arab Spring, was to not over-secure embassies, not have a huge military presence at our embassies, because normally you're relying on the host country. Although, how can you rely on a host country when it's Egypt or Libya? But that's a whole nother issue. To try to de-emphasize military and try to get this, you know, we're with you kind of argument. And I think, David, you know, you serve in the Army. That's part of the problem with all of this.
You know, for those of us who've been there and seen the Islamic radicalism up close,
yeah,
this whole idea of calling this the Arab Spring to begin with was a sad joke to see what has actually developed. And the Obama administration bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Promoted it, actually.
Promoted
I would say not
it.
Just bought it. They promoted it.
They promoted it. And so they had a vested interest in trying to show that this region was becoming somewhat normal. And so even as other more prudent governments were pulling their diplomats out of Benghazi, what was the Obama administration pulling out of Benghazi? Our security. I mean, there are
people need to understand what David just said. Say that again.
Even as other governments were pulling their diplomats out of Benghazi because Benghazi was so dangerous, the only thing the administration was pulling out of Benghazi was our security. And that there are mistakes, and then there are mistakes. Throughout political history, there are example after example of people resigning when they make a major mistake that costs lives.
Yeah, you could bet there's going to be no resignations 2 weeks out of an election. But and Hillary Clinton, if you listen to what she said, she did not take responsibility for the ridiculous video statement. We're going to be taking more of your calls in the next segment of the broadcast. So if you're on the line, stay there. Lines are jammed. If you want to try to call in, it's 1-800-684-3110. Let's get another call.
Let's go to line 1. Abner's calling from Texas. Abner, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Abner.
Thank you. What was disrespectful for Barack Obama during that debate is that four times when he talked about women and jobs, that was the question, Barack Obama added Planned Parenthood. There wasn't a question about abortion during the debate, but Barack Obama, to him, Planned Parenthood and women are somehow connected to the guy.
Well, I mean, look, you had in the vice presidential debate, Vice President Biden, you know, does that slip and says Planned Parenthood instead of abortion, as if they are, which they are, synonymous. Then you've got the multiple statements on Planned Parenthood that were made in the debate here, and let's go and listen to one right now.
When they said, we're going to cut Planned Parenthood funding, He said, me too. When he said, we're going to repeal Obamacare, first thing I'm going to do, despite the fact that it's the same health care plan that he passed in Massachusetts and is working well.
So you see how they tie, the president tied in Planned Parenthood to Obamacare, which, Than, is interesting since all the discussion before the bill passed was, there's nothing about abortion in here. Abortion will have nothing to do with this. And we went through that thing many, many times. That's the outrage in all of this.
Right. Well, not only that, they're distilling women's issues down to abortion issues. And all the polling shows, Jay, that women are actually pretty split on that issue. And in this cycle, women are actually more focused on other issues, the economy, yep, jobs, and the like. But they want to keep saying that the only thing that women care about is abortion rights. And frankly, Jay, that's why the numbers among women are closing.
You know what's interesting? I had a Supreme Court case a couple years back, and it was the issue was opposition to abortion constitute animus or discrimination against women. That was the issue in the case. And we won that case 6-3. And Justice Scalia, in an opinion, which was joined also by Justice Souter and others, so, I mean, this was a pretty broad-based opinion, said that opposition to abortion is not discrimination against women because men and women of good conscience are on both sides of the abortion debate. And I think they overplay this attack on women. Now, Monday's debate, it's going to be all foreign policy. I don't know how the president is going to be able to weave in Planned Parenthood, except I have thought of one, and that is he changed our policy of funding organizations, David, overseas that engaged in abortion. So that might come up in that context, but that would be probably it.
Well, that's right. But, you know, if I was betting, I would say it's about a 50-50 chance it'll come up because this is how the president
but
has—
But David never bets, so that's okay.
Well, right. This is how historically the president plays identity politics when it comes to gender, is going back to this issue again and again and again. Just like he plays identity politics with immigration, as if the Hispanic population in this country isn't also concerned with things like mortgages and the economy and jobs.
Of course. All right, let's do this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls during the next segment of the broadcast. Let's go ahead and, Than, let's try to grab one more really quickly before the end of this segment.
All right, let's go to Nikki from South Carolina on line 3. Nikki, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you? I just have like 3 examples. I live in South Carolina, and I work at a nonprofit organization at a clinic, and I have people coming in with Medicare, and they've been cut. You know, dental and eye is not covered anymore. We see people come in with food stamps that have been dropped to $16 a month. We see, like, all sorts of
things. Yeah.
I have a friend who works for GE. She is in the wind department. You know, Obama administration, they put millions and billions of dollars in that, and they all got laid off. And most importantly, he said that mammograms, people rely on mammograms with the whole Planned Parenthood, and that's not true, because if you want a mammogram, you have to go to a place that provides it.
Yes, and Planned Parenthood does not. You know, everything you said is absolutely correct, and I think that the problem for the president was, again, he's repeating a party line on Planned Parenthood as if they're broad-based services. Planned Parenthood is the world's largest abortion provider. They have, for 350,000 abortions, what'd they have, Than? 7,000 referrals for adoption? I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it's like, you know, 350,000 to one. I mean, that's the nature of what's going on here. Hey, folks, when we come back, we're going to take more of your calls, 800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to get Foundations of Freedom. It's the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. So you understand the powers of the presidency. It's a great way to do it. It's to read the Constitution. We've got a great resource for you. It's called Foundations of Freedom. Our gift to you, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 for Foundations of Freedom. Let me also thank you. Many, many of you went to the internet yesterday and made online donations. You got our email. We appreciate that very much. Again, if you've not supported the ACLJ, this is a great month to do it. October is an important month for us. We're getting near the middle of the month now. We're certainly in the middle of the month, and we could really use your help. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 for Foundations of Freedom. But make that online gift to the ACLJ. It's tax deductible. Really helps us out at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a minute.
There's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
Protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. It's called the Foundations of Freedom. Call now, 1-877-989-2255 or online at ACLJ.org.